The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Now, with so much technology around us, I was talking earlier on to Marty Whelan and how the social media has just sent that worldwide icebox phenomenon around the world. It's everywhere with us. And I think sometimes it can be distracting, but also sometimes we can harness it to help us. For example, we can wear wearable technology and mobile apps to keep track of our health and fitness. Dr. Johnny Walker, which I think is a fantastic name, is a clinically active radiologist and a successful medical entrepreneur with a keen interest in cutting edge technology. Dr. Walker, good morning to you.
Hey, Catherine, how are you?
I'm good. Now, I saw you through the window laughing away there about our discussion on the Midlands. Where are you living at the moment?
I'm living here in Dublin.
You're living in Dublin. Okay. Yeah. Have you visited the Midlands?
I haven't, but I can't wait after that.
You're on your way, maybe this weekend.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, tell us, where does your interest in technology and healthcare come from?
Basically, through my background, I suppose, as a radiologist, where we're dealing in imaging and a lot of connectivity, trying to image anatomy. And I just happened to be qualifying at a period in time where this technology back in 1995 just was suddenly beginning to emerge. And I was able to harness that and build this teleradiology network, which eventually went away around the world, where we could take an X-ray and an ultrasound or a CAT scan, an MRI, and we could spin that around a secure web-based network to a panel of radiologists anywhere in the world who could look at these images on high-resolution monitors and then use voice-activated dictation to dictate a report and then transmit the images back onto the referring doctor's device, their handheld or their PC or the laptop, in minutes rather than hours or days.
I mean, that is unbelievable. When you think of any area of our lives and you look at the difference, say, in the last 20 years,
yeah,
it has to be in healthcare where that difference has literally changed the landscape.
It's a big one, and it's happening literally day by day. I mean, 6 months in our space is quite a long time now. Mm. I think the only downside of bringing this innovation into healthcare is that traditionally we're very, very, to some degree, narrow-minded, and we're loath to adopt technology rapidly. And I think, and that's understandable because it's in the sick people business and we need to be safe. But I think there's so much technology out there. A lot of it's noise, but there's some fantastic stuff there. And I don't think that we've ever worked in a more compelling time and never ever been more empowered to go out and make a difference to the way we care for people.
Okay, well, in the time that we have today, let's talk about what you've road tested, what you think is good for our listeners, what's working and what are people talking about at the moment? I mean, what's the in thing?
Yeah, well, I suppose if the subject is wearable technology, we probably should start with the most common, and that is probably the wristbands or the smartwatches, where people within the fitness and healthcare and wellness sort of space, mm-hmm. They essentially want to take ownership over their own well-being, and so they get the Fitbits or the Jawbone Ups or the Garmins, and there's a plethora of them. And they can measure how far they walk, they can measure how many calories they've burnt. A lot of them will now measure sleep and the quality of the sleep. So ideally, to be able to measure your activity and then bring that to you in a meaningful way where you can bring about behavioural change, you can achieve the targets, and then you can measure against those goals. So that's probably the most common, is the wristband or the smartwatch. But there's a plethora if you wanted to go from head to toe. There's an enormous...
You can put something on every part of the body.
Yeah, yeah.
So what have you tried and tested? Let's talk specifically. Is it Jawbone?
So I use the Jawbone Up.
Up?
Yeah,
UP.
I had the Jawbone Up, UP. And it's a little wristband, not dissimilar to the one I'm wearing here, which is a different one. And it allows you to... it measures how far you walk. So it's got accelerometers and it's got geo-mapping and what have you. And it'll tell you you've done your 10,000 steps a day, or that equates to 10 kilometres or 5 kilometres or whatever else it might do. It doesn't do steps. Yeah, you can't swim with it. You can't ride with it. And so there's a lot of other activities that unfortunately weren't captured with the Jawbone. It did have
to be plugged. Can you shower with it?
You can. That was great. It was waterproof. So you could swim with it, but it wouldn't measure how far you'd swum. You then had to plug it into the top of your iPhone or your Android, and it will download all of the data, and it gives you this terrific little dashboard of where you can see your tracking in a graphical format. Really, really quite sexy stuff. And you get all of that, and you can see how well you've done that day versus that week. And you can also link that out, if you wished, I never did, to a wider community of friends and family and team members, and create this sort of tribal community, and then compete in that way to try and boost each other up.
So the Jawbone, it counts your steps.
Yep.
It does that then work out your calories burnt?
Yep. It'll do a calorie burn. It'll also do the hours slept, the number of times you woke up during sleep, the quality of your sleep, the depth of your sleep. It'll also have a little alarm on it so that it'll wake you at the optimum time for you to actually wake, in terms of REM sleep and what have you, so that when you wake, you feel refreshed rather than that you've been hit with a sledgehammer.
Okay. And how did you find it? Did you find that it made a difference? How long did you wear it?
Yeah, I had it for 9 months until it died one night. It quite literally died. And if you're up on the blogs, it just goes out like a flat line in red lights and it's gone. And no matter what you do to try and re-kick it and what have you, it didn't come good. But you've got to remember that this technology is still really in its infancy. So we're going to have these sort of hiccups
and
issues as it meets mainstream. But I used it. You know, well, I won't say religiously in it, I just wore it and yeah. You just forget it. You know, you get 3 or 4 days of battery life out of it, which wasn't bad. The new ones now are going 1 year.
And then how do you just plug it into your...
Yeah, so that one, the early model, you plugged it in, but now with the low energy Bluetooth, it'll just sync automatically through to your handheld device, through to your smartphone or through to your laptop.
Wowzers. And how much does something like that cost?
Well, the Jawbone was relatively inexpensive in that you could get that for, I think, around about $100 to $120. Now that's coming down. I think it's just under $100 now. And all of them, as these technologies come onto the market, and there are so many of them now, they'll in time become commoditized. The technology will be faster, better, safer, cheaper, more effective. It'll be smaller, more compact. And with that, the price will drop and they'll become more accessible.
Okay. So we've discussed counting steps and sleep and all that. For a lot of people, the one that I found interesting was the one that helped you with your posture.
Yeah.
Lumovac. Talk to us about that, because we're constantly criticised, and especially in our working environment, for not watching our posture, and it's so important.
Look at the pair of us. We both just pulled our shoulders back up and straightened up, didn't we? And it's, I make my living out of lower back pain, sadly, and that we do so many MRIs for degenerative backs, and a lot of that originates through poor posture. And so this little device is something which you can wear around your lumbar region. It's like a wide belt, and it has the ability to monitor your posture as to whether you're beginning to slouch, to slump, or whether you're upright. And it'll actually give you tiny little vibrations to nudge you if it feels that your posture is beginning to drift. And so you get a little...
It's kind of a double whammy. It's almost a little massage.
You can get it kick-started and go 24 hours if you like, but it's terrific. And if you're at the desk, and I'm fortunate to be in and out of operating theatre, but also down at the reporting stations for many hours at a time, and you do find yourself just falling down, beginning to slump. And so this will give you a little nudge and remind you. And it'll map out your activity. It'll also measure how far you walk, how many times you've got up, etc., and give you that sort of feedback. But again, the feedback has to be meaningful. It's got to mean something to you. And you've got to look at it and think, okay, I can see there that I was beginning to slump. What can I do about it? And then you've got to bring in those behavioural changes to modify it.
Well, I suppose for me, what would work there is, with a wristband or anything like that, you have to look at the material that comes in and the data that comes in and work it for yourself. Whereas if I'm wearing a band that gives me a little vibration in the back, that in itself just automatically makes you use it without having to think about it.
That's it. It's almost subliminal. It's there in the background, and it brings about that behavioural modification where you get the muscle learning, so that all of your rectus spinae muscles, all of your the key muscles that stabilise the spine, that core axis, they begin to become trained, and it's subconsciously, you're not even aware of it.
Okay, and that's the Lumovac.
That's Lumovac.
And people can find out at lumovac.com, and that's about 110 euro.
That's right.
Do you have to plug it in? Is it battery operated?
Yeah, no, so most of these devices will, because they're standalone, they'll have to be recharged, and so that'll have to go onto a power device. But most of them now are becoming very short charges. You can charge within 30 to 40 minutes,
okay,
and then they'll give you another 24, 48, 72 hours.
Okay. The Happy Fork.
Yeah, the Happy Fork.
Love this.
Catherine, I must say, we did this on Doctors on Call on one of the segments, but it's essentially a speed bump for fast eaters. And we know
Hands
that...
Hands up, I'm guilty of
this. There you go,
this.
You and me both. And we know that rapid eating, and not so much in a gluttonous way, but just rapid fire, feeding the mouth, does lead to a loss of awareness of the actual the quantity of food you're taking, not only the quality, but and if you're firing it in, you it is directly linked to obesity. And so what this is essentially a little mechanical speed bump in the form of the fork, which is delivering the food to the mouth. And so it will set off a little vibration that'll stop you if shoveling it in too quickly. And it'll basically set up a rhythm for you. It's a little bit anal, I know, but and I must say at this stage I haven't used it with the kids or anything, but it's I can see the concept. Whether it'll have great take-up, I don't know.
Because I suppose that's just the technical way of getting people to slow down. And what we've been doing for years is telling people to chew more or chew 20 times a day. As a doctor, you're telling people to slow down.
Yep.
Is this, I mean, looking at that, I remember reading about Alan Sugar in the UK, and he carries a tiny little fork. You know, it's a mini fork.
Is that right?
And that he basically does that in order to kind of control his quantity of eating. So this is sort of taking it to the next level from a sort of a technical perspective. But where do you draw the line? I mean, how much of this is extra stuff that we don't need?
Yeah. There's so much noise there, Catherine, isn't there? And there's stuff, look, there will always be that small cohort of our community who just want to try everything because it's there, and they're technophiles, and they're so keen to get us out. But does it actually bring meaningful benefit? Not just features, and there's features from, I'm just almost shagged with so many features that are out there, but does it bring real, genuine, tangible benefits to the people that use it? And that's the real question you've got to ask.
Mm. And I suppose then it's differentiating that between what gives you an idea of quantified self.
Yeah, well, the whole quantified self movement, I think in time this will become mainstream. I think people think, they're just it's geeks and Silicon Valley dudes who are walking around with Google Glass and various other things. But, you know, there is some real logic around having an awareness of your own body's functions and the parameters that govern that. And if you can step up and take responsibility and some governance around that through exercise, through nutrition, through sleep, most importantly sleep, then that can only be a good thing. Mm-hmm. And if we do that as a community as a whole, then this technology has added some value.
What about those of us guilty as charged as well, that, you know, buy into all this technology and, you know, download an app? I have, I'd say, about 15 apps on my phone that I've downloaded, some of which I paid for, some of which are free, that I've never actually opened.
Yeah.
So how much of this, you know, do we buy it? Do we, you know, have the best intentions and then it gathers dust or ends up in the dog bed being chewed? Or
I think the average app is used about 11 times before it's either burnt or ditched. But things like, you know, Map My Walk, I mean, it's a common one. It's simple. It's there, downloadable on the iPhone or the Android.
I use Map My Run. It's fantastic.
And the Map My Run.
That's what I do.
Except the voice keeps interrupting you when you're trying to listen to an audible book or some music, and suddenly she chimes in and tells you 10 minutes and 46 seconds. Get going. But that's something very, very simple that you can download for free, and away you go. So I think that's good. And you know, again, it sets your targets. You can achieve those targets and it gives you instant feedback. So I think that's good. And it's almost like having a buddy in the pocket.
Mm. Are there any good websites that stand out for you specifically that people who, if they want to find out more about wearable technology, that you can guide them to?
Yeah, look, there's a plethora out there. If you just Google wearable technology, you'll come up with an absolute smorgasbord of stuff. But Mashable is usually, they're out there on the they're on the edge, and there's stuff coming out of Silicon Valley, various websites. But have a look around. There's a lot of garbage out there, but some of the there's some key thought leaders now who are true users of this technology, and they've got to be objective about it. They can't just be seduced by technology. This stuff has to really add value, but it's out there. And but don't look for too much immediate sort of gratification out of this. Use it for what it is at the moment. A lot of it's still experimental. A lot of it's just it's trying to bring around that behavioural change, and give it a go. Don't be too judgmental on it. But then again, don't be spending too much money either on 10 appliances which you're never going to use.
And is there a specific area of healthcare that is emerging, is kind of, you know, the talking point at the moment in terms of wearable technology?
Yeah, I think I'm on my crusade to try and stop patients coming into hospital by keeping them well within the community and within the community, within the home. And so anything where we can actually create an ecosystem that's centred around the patient within the home and yet still have them connected through to their own healthcare network, whether it's the general practitioner, the community nurse, physio, the dentist, the pharmacist, etc., then that's a really, really big thing. And then if and when they do need to come into the general practitioner, or if they do need to come into the hospital, we can use these connected devices already to share visibility of the data. For instance, a diabetic, the diabetic care team can have complete up-to-the-minute visibility on a patient's blood sugar level. We have sensors now which we can strap onto the tummy, and they'll measure the blood sugar level, and then they'll automatically administer the dose of insulin if the sugar's too high, or glucagon if the sugar's too low. We've got various respiratory monitors for asthmatics, etc. So there's a plethora of technology which we can deploy in the home to create a new world ecosystem, if you like, using this digital technology to really empower, engage and embrace the patient.
Amazing. All right, well, listen, really interesting. Thank you very much for coming in to talk to us, Dr. Johnny Walker.
Pleasure, Catherine.
Thanks very much. Back after this.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray. The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.